This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And where we are in the free Odyssey app. Good Wednesday morning. We know it's very early, but yesterday was not a great day for New York baseball for a number of reasons. As the Yankees blow a lead to the Diamondbacks, a big grand slam late in the game that Mark Leiter Jr. gives up. That was an annoying loss. The Mets have an annoying loss. Couple of errors, uncharacteristic from Francisco Lindor. Offense silenced again. You find out that Sean Manaea now has to be shut down for another 2 weeks. So it was annoying. Yesterday was not a great day for New York baseball. But the great thing about it this time of year is there's 10,000 games more left, Boomer Esiason. Good morning, how are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. At least the Knicks won a haphazard game against the Sixers, and they got to play tonight against the Cavaliers out in Cleveland. We'll see how that whole thing shakes out. That is a big story going on. And, of course, the Rangers play tonight against Minnesota as the Canadiens and Blue Jackets both won last night. So that's dropped them back a little bit further from that wild card number two in the Eastern Conference of the NHL. Bounced around all over TV last night. And poor Mark Leiter, man. Just, I mean, that ball was probably about 3 feet from being caught by Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
3 feet.
I mean, it didn't look like he took the best route to that ball. I thought he was going to have more of a shot to it, but I mean, I'm not going to blame Cody Bellinger on that. I mean, it was just a bad pitch.
They just flew, though, you know. Yeah. But here's the other thing that comes out of last night's game. You said here yesterday that you're all jacked up that Jazz Chisholm is all fired up and fighting back against Dave Portnoy and Barstool and all you dopes out there.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he went over four strikeouts last night. It doesn't matter what you have in your hand if you can't hit the ball. And yeah. I told you yesterday that, man, just stay above it, you know. And then, of course, last night on the Yankee game, Michael Kay and Paul O'Neill are talking about this torpedo bat and how Giancarlo Stanton has been using it. He used it last year.
Is that why his elbows are all left up?
They were talking about that, and Meredith Marakovich said that there is no correlation to the bat and his elbows.
Okay.
So
how do we know this?
Paying attention to all of that stuff. But I just, for Jazz Chisholm, just stay out of the fray, man. Stay above the fray. These bats have been around for a couple years, according to Kay and O'Neill last night. It's not shocking that more people are using them. And yeah, a few more home runs were hit. And of course, the Yankees set a four game record with 17 home runs. But I'm just like, you decided to get yourself involved in this. And then you come out the next night and you go 0 for 4.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's technically a touch the money situation.
He struck out four times.
But I mean, what he was doing was, I know what he was doing, and he's going to have bad games, going to have good games. I mean, he was really spectacular against the Brewers. But what he was doing was essentially saying what you're saying, is that it's not some sort of magical bat and other people have been using it. And he was just trying to shut up somebody with a very large audience who was saying negative things. And I don't know. I enjoyed that entertainment part of it because it wasn't something I thought was harmful. I don't necessarily see the correlation between talking smack on social media and going 0 for 4.
Well, I mean, his whole thing, you could blame it at the feet of Michael Kay, because nobody would have said anything about it unless he brings it up on Saturday's game. And so it's all his fault. That's what I said. It's Big Head's fault. And just let him heal. He can sit there and take all the bows for bringing it up to everybody and letting everybody know what the hell's actually going on. But Major League Baseball, by all accounts, said this bat is legal. Everything's fine. And again, the bat is designed to help the hitter when he hits the ball, not when he swings and misses.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. Everybody thinks that, oh, all right, so we had a lot of conversation about these bats over the last 4 days, but unless you're hitting the ball, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, of course.
Still have to hit the ball.
But as Al pointed out the other day, that was what the steroid people said, too. You know, you still got to make contact. You still got to do that. Now, I don't think it's an advantage like steroids. I'm not making that correlation, but that was their excuse.
The bat's been around for 2 years now,
years.
Now.
I know. I mean, I think we've said all we need to say about it. But, you know, like a guy like Anthony Volpe, though, who was really the person that needed it, you know, hits another home run last night. And that first home run he had on opening day, we looked at and we're like, wow, I mean, that would look like it was right off. You know, he got jammed there and it went out. I know it was the short porch, but, you know, I think for a guy like him, it certainly helps. And maybe he'll have more power numbers because of it, because of the design. But yeah, I mean, you know, last night really was more about the fact that he didn't have Devin Williams. You know, a lot of paternity leave stuff. I know that, you know, that's a sore spot back in the day.
You know what? I mean, like, all I said.
You don't need to relitigate it. I'm just laughing about it.
I mean, I appreciate what Francisco Lindor said. He said, my wife had the baby.
Yeah.
She said, all's good. Baby's healthy. Get back to work. Yeah. And he showed up the next day. Like, he didn't go out. And everybody's got a different situation. But, you know, he wanted to be back with his team. And he got his first hit. So,
And Devin Williams not available because of it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I
got to time these things out better, you know what I'm saying?
I know, it's been like that with the Rangers throughout the season as well. It happens every year. God almighty, I don't know why, you know, why we even have to discuss it anymore when it happens. And like I said, every situation is completely different. Everybody handles it different. So everybody can get their heads out of their asses and stop worrying about it.
Well, I just brought it up to laugh. I don't think I wasn't trying to be serious about it. But yeah, I mean, Lindor was a weird one. I mean, I don't know if him, you know, having a late night or traveling or whatever had something to do with it, but two errors in the same game for him is really rare. And they were both similar. I mean, they both basically were hops that he would normally handle, go off the heel of the glove. It was just weird.
Something was weird going on last night because that was weird. The nailer, the Corbin Burns play was weird. It was an easy play.
He threw it way over his head.
And then, I don't know how much of the Knicks game you watched, but I have to tell you, if the Knicks play like the way that they played last night, they won the game, which is great. But if they play the way that they played last night, tonight against Cavaliers, they're going to lose by 50. I mean, and I know that they don't, you know, Carl Anthony Towns didn't play last night, and Brunson didn't play last night, and Landry Shamet went off last night, but man, there were times where nobody wanted to hold on to the basketball in this game last night.
Yeah,
between them and the Sixers, it was brutal.
Yeah, I mean, it was aesthetically not pleasing. The Sixers are horrendous. There's nothing you can judge from that basketball game last night. I got to be honest, nothing. I mean, you got your two star players that aren't playing against a team that is completely dead.
Man, my guy Precious Achiuwa was throwing up bricks last night.
Well,
I mean, I think he was like trying to throw it in the, like, instead of shooting it.
Yeah.
Trying to throw it in the basketball, in the basket.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You're aiming, not just letting it go?
I don't know what he was doing. I said, and then OG was all over the place last night. You know, there was like just a lot of weird plays.
Yeah, I mean, because it's not really the team.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I've said this a bunch now, and I really do think, you know, you get Brunson back, get them going again, familiarity, all this stuff. I really think it's a good thing that he's had some rest here as well, as much as he plays. And he'll come back, and then you'll have Towns hopefully 100% healthy. And I don't know if this knee thing is something that's an actual thing or he's getting a rest day because you got the Cavaliers coming up and you want to play well in that game. But once the playoffs start, I really do believe you're going to get a different looking team. And I'm not naive about this. I just think that we haven't experienced in a very long time a good NBA team that gets bored. And that's what happens.
Oh,
and this is
bored,
a good
right.
NBA team that got bored. And when they get to the playoffs, they're not going to be bored. And we're going to see better play. We're going to see better defense. We're going to see better shooting. We're going to see all of that stuff. And will it be enough to beat those two best teams in the East?
You know, that remains to be seen, but
don't we have to beat one of them? Well, they might have to beat two of them.
No, I mean, to get to the finals.
Well,
you have
assuming
to beat two.
That we're assuming that Cleveland's going to make it all the way to the finals.
I mean, I would think so. I mean, at this point, that team is proven enough, right?
Yeah, but they're not. Well, they've had their little bit of a hiccup.
And they're not
going
to have to face the Celtics until they won't face them in the first or second round. So then they wouldn't have to face the Knicks until the finals. So. I mean, what team's knocking them off? It would have to be a disaster for them to get knocked off.
Somebody has to get hurt, just like what happened to the Knicks last year. Somebody would have somebody of significance, two or three players, have to get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a possibility. I mean, the Knicks were well on their way to winning that Indiana series till everybody went down in a heap.
Well, I hate to just point this out, but it did happen in the women's college basketball with Juju Watkins in USC. I mean, not that UConn could have beat them with her playing, but when she's out, forget it. Game's over.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the impact of a truly great player. And that's what happened to the Knicks last year. And that's why it was so enjoyable because of the way that the guys who were playing played. But it was also really frustrating for the guys that were not playing. And even last night watching the game, I mean, half the bench looks like a boy band. And the other half is like, players you'd never heard of.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is like for me last night, this was a nothing means nothing basketball game,
And it looked that way.
I mean,
too.
And I'm not taking anything out of it, and I feel like you're kind of like extrapolating something that happened last night into later.
There was a point in the third quarter yesterday that it was just the first 7 or 8 minutes was just brutal.
Yeah,
I think the Knicks were stuck on like 67, and I don't know, Philadelphia couldn't get out of their own way. Balls being thrown away, balls thrown out of bounds.
So bad.
I think the Knicks probably had like 20 turnovers last night.
Yeah, I mean, this is why regular season basketball is a tough watch. It just is, I mean, and me with the length and the Major League Baseball, I talk about it so much and keeping the attention, but I was way more interested in early season baseball last night than I was with the Knicks and playing without Towns and Jalen Brunson against one of the worst teams we've seen in a number of years. I mean, that's really where I know.
And listen, the baseball goes fast. Before you know it, you're in the sixth inning. If nobody has like one of those snowman innings,
that's great.
And this kid Kranick for the Mets.
Yeah, Kranick and Stanek.
Kranick and Stanek. Kranick has been great.
Kranick and Stanek.
I don't know. They just got
to
start.
Print the T-shirts.
Just got to start hitting, man. It's so frustrating. Vantos is struggling. Pete's still struggling.
Gets a hit, but I mean, still one hit on the year.
But two errors.
Yeah, I know. One hit, two errors. Yeah, Vientos, that's the one that's more disappointing to me than some of the other slow starts just because, I mean, he looked like he was on a trajectory to be a tremendous offensive player. And he still may be, but he doesn't look like the same guy right now that we saw in the playoffs. And meaning like just the full confidence he had going up to the plate as a young guy against some of the best pitchers in the game during the postseason. I was like, that's going to carry over and I'm going to see that. So, it's one of those things where it's not even so much and he's getting really frustrated as they're showing last night him, throwing stuff in the dugout. But it's just like the confidence at the plate I'm not seeing like I saw. But I still think he'll be good. I still think he's going to be a major part of this offense. But that one is annoying to me. And Kodai Senga, by the way, he was really good last night. I mean, it's, he had the two unearned runs because of the Lindor errors, but I mean, I thought he pitched outside of that home run he gave up in the first inning. I thought he was really good. I mean, he
touched 96 a couple times.
Struck out 8 guys. Had the ghost fork working.
Yeah.
I mean, the pitching's been good.
Pitching has been good.
Especially, and then it helps you out on the heels of that. Carlos Mendoza, you could tell, was really disappointed delivering that news yesterday. Manaea getting shut down because, he's got some inflammation there and this oblique thing continues to linger. But, off the heels of that news, another good pitching performance. I mean, that if they can, the offense will be fine. They'll wake up. They're going to be fine. If they could put together another like miracle season with this duct tape and spit that they're doing with the starting rotation.
Yes.
I mean, then this team knows no bounds and early returns are good. And we, but this is a big start for Clay Holmes early on in the season. Struggled This is now his second start as a starter.
They got to win this series.
And they can't lose to the Marlins.
Right.
Exactly. Two out of three. So this one is actually, it's an important early season moment for him because this is the first time he's doing this, you know, in a very long time. You're getting ready for a second start. You know, even though that this is the difference between a team with expectations and not, like, if they lose two out of three to the Marlins and start 2-4, it's going to feel horrible.
I feel some of the disappointment because, you know, there's such high hopes with Soto in the lineup. And the fact that, you know, he's on base every game, which is, you know, it's great for him.
Yeah.
But the guys around him got to wake up here sooner or later.
Well, I mean, Pete has the big grand slam, but, you know, last night just a nothing offensive game for him.
Rounder.
So, I mean, you know, with opening day coming up and them coming off this series, it would be nice to have some momentum going into that and not limping in because you know that place is going to be wild. Soto's going to get a huge ovation. It's going to be popping. It's going to just completely sold out.
Come in with a win and come in with a series win. Yeah. That's what you want.
And then this weekend is going to be a complete washout.
Oh, that's a shame.
Complete washout. So we're going to have, you know what's going to happen on Monday. You know, I was waiting around for 2.5 hours, 3 hours. They told me we were going to play. They weren't going to play.
Yeah,
then I spent $700 on beer and hot dogs and brisket sandwiches. And then they sent me home. I paid $70,000 to park my car. Right? That happens every year. Every year.
and by the way, it is that time of year.
Yeah, certainly.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco here, and he's got an update for us. What's happening, Jerry?
Good morning. Brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Looked like nobody was going to beat the Yankees this season. Matter of fact, they had a nice lead late innings last night. But then Tim Hill faced three batters, didn't do so great. Mark Leiter came in, didn't do so great. And part of his outing was this.
Leiter peers in. He comes set at the belt from the first base side of the rubber. The 2-2 with two out. Bases loaded to Suarez. A pitch swung on high. Fly ball. Left field. Bellinger going back at the track. Leaps and it is gone. Hey, Eugenio Suarez with a grand slam here in the eighth inning.
And as out of Al Leiter's son, Mark Leiter Jr.
No, it's not. Yeah, no. Jesus,
no.
All right, so anyway, listening to Paul O'Neill during this at-bat, he was right on. He goes, Suarez, you can tell, is sitting. And Suarez was, I guess, the player of the week or player of whatever last week or whatever. But he said you can tell that he's sitting on these off-speed pitches.
Yeah.
And he called it.
Yeah, he was waiting on it.
He called it.
That's and a ball like, player in the booth right there, man.
Hey, I got to give him credit because he called it 100%.
Here was Al's son, Mark, on the grand slam that he gave up.
That was a good swing. That's my split, and that's what I'm going to go to. And he put a real good swing on it. Unfortunately, it got out.
Yes, it did get out. And then Ben Rice, who homered along the way in this game. They had three home runs, Volpe, Dominguez, and Rice. He says, we were in position to win. Sucks to lose a game like that.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, that's just sometimes how it goes. I mean, I think we got a resilient team that can, you know, dig ourselves out of any holes. But unfortunately, tonight, we weren't able to.
So the Yankees 3-1 through 4 now. They will have Carlos Rodon taking on Zach Gallen tonight on the Fan at 6:25. Meantime, the Mets were in Miami, and they had tied the game at 2. Matter of fact, Francisco Lindor got a base hit, drove in a run, everything was good, had an error previously in the game, which is rare, and even more rare for him to have another.
Bouncing ball hit to short. Lindor to his right has this one go up off his chest and rolls to the right, and Lopez is safe. This is going to be a 2-error game for Lindor as he makes his second one of the night. Huh. You don't see that happening.
No, you do not. Ah. And then after getting a couple of guys out and then issuing a walk, Kodai Senga gave up this.
Senga's 1-0. Hit in the air toward left field and deep. Nimmo on his horse to the alleyway. Looks up. It's over his head and bangs up against the fence. It's going to score 2 runs. Konine is in. Wright is in. Pauly at second with a go-ahead 2-run double. And in the bottom of the fourth, the Marlins are back in front. 4-2.
And that'd be that. That was Keith Radd on Mets Odyssey Radio. That was it for the offense. 4-2 was the final score as the Marlins take the opener, or take the game from New York, excuse me. Kyle Stowers, a two-run homer in the first inning. Here was Francisco Lindor afterwards. All he can say is, my bad.
I wish I would have done better for Senga. And Senga had a great game. You know, it's unfortunate that I didn't finish the play for him. He executed today all night long. Definitely should be better.
But it wasn't. What else? Series finale today at 4:40. Clay Holmes, the start. Now, there's more to this because you had the whole Sean Manaea situation. We thought he was working his way back sooner rather than later, but as we found out pregame from Carlos Mendoza,
he experienced some discomfort a couple of days ago while he was, you know, starting to ramp up. We took an MRI again and showed inflammation, so he got a PRP injection yesterday. So he's not throwing for 2 weeks now.
So shut down again, and then I imagine they'll take his time with him and make sure they get him back at 100% when he does come back, but he is not ready as of now. The Dodgers took on the Braves. You know the storylines here. LA was 6-0. Atlanta was 0-5. Well, those numbers continue trending in that way.
The 1-1 pitch. Mookie, fly ball, left field, going back toward the wall. It is gone!
Yes, he did. That was Dodgers.
Yes, he got rid
radio.
Of that parasite, huh?
Or whatever it was, yes. hits the home run, puts them in front, or at least extended the lead. L.A. beats Atlanta 3-1, so the Dodgers 7-0, the Braves 0-6 on the season.
They'll somehow... Man. What's that?
What were you going to say?
I'm going to say they'll somehow come back and win the division. I mean, they always do. You know, it's just they'll somehow find a way to come back, scrap together an unbelievable season, and then in September take over the division. But then again, you know, they lost Profar. They're 0-6.
80 games, yeah.
You know, maybe it's a, I don't know, maybe it's just a miserable season for them.
I know it's a big story that they are winless, but the fact that the Dodgers come out just doing what they're doing, I mean, this is what everybody would have expected.
I see what first team to come out of a championship 7-0 since 1933, the Yankees or something like that.
Yeah. Hey, they're good.
They are good.
We figured this out.
They are good. I know they got the crying pitcher, but they are good.
Yeah, you know what was interesting? I saw that the manager for Roki Sasaki in Japan said that he didn't believe that LA was going to be a good place for him because of his emotional issues.
Really?
And in a big market, that wouldn't work. He said this before.
Wow.
Like,
emotional issues.
Emotional issues.
Yeah, but he's got Shohei Ohtani there, man. You know, like, Shohei will take care of him.
Yeah, but it's still interesting that the manager called that and said, I don't think it's going to work out. And then after two starts, you're sitting there crying in the dugout. It seems like you kind of nailed that.
Yeah, but where should he have gone then? Because no matter where you go these days, everybody's going to see you. And, you know, you want to go to the Dodgers because you think you're going to win and you're going to get support.
If he's out there in Sacramento, he's not crying in the dugout.
That's true. That is very true.
He's crying that he went there, though.
A's lost to the Cubs 7-4 in that park again. As a matter of fact. At the NFL owner meetings in Florida, so the league tabled this conversation on the tush push. Here was the commissioner, Roger Goodell.
There are safety issues that are being considered in that case. We have very little data from it, but it's beyond data. There's also, you know, there's the mechanism of injury that we study, that type of thing that leads us to show the risk involved with a particular play.
I don't know. It looks like they're going to discuss again at the league meetings.
Yeah, so it was 16 teams.
Yes.
Voted against it, and they need 24. I mean, I really cannot believe that 16 teams voted against that.
But even if it's 16 teams, that means 16 didn't. So isn't that the vote? Don't we move on?
That's what it should be.
Why are we tabling it then?
Because Roger Goodell probably wants this thing out. And they're thinking, oh, okay, you know, maybe more people come around and want it out of the game next year.
I don't like it, but I wouldn't make it illegal.
If you listen to the Eagles side of it.
It's football, right?
And you listen to the Eagles side of it, because I guess they did do the research, and when Roger Goodell goes, we have very little data, it's because there's no proof that that play hurts more players than any other play. It's just nothing there.
What I don't like is the thing we saw in the playoffs. When they say they can issue a touchdown. Washington. What's the team?
Commanders.
The Commanders.
Yeah, yeah.
When they were trying to time the snap because it's the only way to try and stop it.
Yeah.
do it for 4 hours if you have to.
Oh, God.
Giving him a penalty. Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Another penalty, they could have given them a touchdown.
That right, that yeah. I don't like. Yeah. Exactly. We heard from Art Rooney. Is it Art Rooney? Art Rooney.
Yeah, Art Rooney the second.
We have a whole bunch going on with Aaron Rodgers. A lot of rumors out there. We saw him throwing a DK Metcalf. We know he was in Pittsburgh. So it certainly seems like things are moving in the direction we all expect them to.
I would say it was a good sign that he wanted to do that. And, I mean, we keep hearing that, he's headed in our direction. And so... That seems to be, all signs are positive so far.
Yeah, so it certainly seems like that will be his next landing spot. And we heard from Jerry Jones. So he spoke to the media for almost 40 minutes yesterday.
Oh, wow. Good. Yeah.
And
lively.
Not all of it, but a lot of it was about Micah Parsons and the new contract. Number one, early on, he was talking about how he deals directly with the player in this instance.
I've spent 5-6 hours with him myself and had a lot of discussions. Most of the issues are in agreement on.
But they don't have an agreement on a new contract. Fast forward about 17 minutes in the session, they come back to Parsons, and one reporter specifically asks, does the agent have an issue with you dealing directly with the player?
Are you kidding me? That's just not something that you should worry about. You should be worrying about your ability to make it work, and you should be worried about what the player does. Does he have good enough health? Does he have enough skill to do what you're paying him the money for? The agent is not a factor here.
All right. Fair so far?
Yeah. Well, I mean, didn't he? Well,
I'm getting there.
Okay.
Because that's how he initially answered it.
Okay, gotcha.
Then he took a pause and then continued.
And I don't know his name. And so my point is that I'm not trying to demean him in any way, but this isn't about an agent. The agent doesn't have one thing to do with what we're doing when we get on a football field against a team. Micah does.
Now, there's a lot here that I'm going through, but that's been the headline, that he doesn't know the agent's name. And then Micah on social media talked about the agent and how he doesn't do anything without him.
Right, and said it was the disrespect and all of that stuff, so that's not going to help these contract negotiations. What was that guy that we saw? The first time I had ever heard his name was during this free agency. It popped up everywhere.
Mm.
It was the David Muffaletta,
right,
or whatever his name was.
Was he Jamar Chase's agent? Does that sound right?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I know, or he's got
Muggaletta. Muggaletta.
Muggaletta. That could
Muffaletta's
be
a sandwich.
What kind of sandwich is it?
It's a famous sandwich, and it's like an Italian hero with an olive spread in New Orleans. It's got a lot of those Italian meats and cheeses, and it's delicious.
A Muffaletta.
A Muffaletta's a,
yeah, he's not a Muffaletta, no.
No, he's a Muggaletta.
A Muggaletta.
Yeah.
Knicks Sixers last night.
Bagley right through the hands of Grimes. Mitchell Robinson off the dribble. Drives in and throws it down. A fast break dunk from Mitchell Robinson, and the lead is up to 17.
And they would win by 14. Mike Breen on MSG, the Knicks beating Philadelphia. OG Anunoby, it was a Mitchell highlight there, but Anunoby, a part of that, knocking the ball away. He finished with 27 points. Might not have shot it great, but was effective in spots. Here was Tom Thibodeau on Anunoby and the offensive production.
I like that he took 9 threes too. He's got a great mix going right now. It's attacking the rim, getting to the line, high volume threes. He's not hesitating. It's really, really good basketball, and his defense
actually
is elite.
There you go.
Even he was a little bit off last night.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
But still very productive.
Yeah, oh my God, yes. He's been tremendous, and it's actually living up to his contract.
Landry Shamet hit 6 threes. He added 20. Mikal Bridges, 14. They do this without Brunson, without Karl Anthony Towns. And now tonight, the Knicks will be in Cleveland. The Cavaliers, 60-15.
Hold on for a second there, Jerry. Let's go to Duncan in Jersey City. Duncan, what's happening?
Guys, what's up? Listen, great show as always, but I have a beef with what Jerry just said. We're talking about push. We're talking about the Commanders and Eagles in the playoffs, and apparently two or three times the ref said next time we could award you a touchdown.
I think it was
and
four Jerry, times, actually.
Yeah, exactly. But you said, let this go on. I've got a beef with the ref awarding them a touchdown. Let this go on for 4 hours. Jerry, what do you got to go to college? There's 1,000 better ways to let that play out but to sit and watch these two retarded teams go at it for
that's
4 hours.
Nice. The only moron is you, Duncan. Get off the phone, you jackass.
There you go.
That was a fine conversation. What are you going to use that word for?
I mean, his name being Duncan made that insult so much better. The only moron is you, Duncan. That was awesome.
I mean, I do really think we're going to sit there for 4 hours. I don't like just handing them a touchdown, though, because the defense is at such a disadvantage. You got to time the play.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're on the one-inch line, though, it's a different situation.
Replay the down.
Yeah, I don't know.
Replay well, the down. You know, the whole league is geared towards offense. And you know,
right.
And now kickoff rule is going to be, if it's a touchback, it's going to come out to the 35-yard line.
Yeah,
they're trying to incentivize team to actually, you know, land the ball in the field of play, so they have to return it.
What do they call that again? The something zone?
The landing zone.
Is it just the landing zone?
I think
zone?
It's the landing zone.
Okay.
But the idea of being a defensive player in the NFL now, you've got this little box you can tackle the guy in.
Yep.
Now you've got guys can have a rugby scrum.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what else they're supposed to do.
Well, that's why quarterbacks throw, you know, 40 touchdown passes.
Well, that's true, too.
It's not just the rules down the field, but it's the restarting of the downs. You know, how many penalties are there that restart the down, you know, sequence all over again on defense? I mean, there's probably like six.
Yeah, I'm looking maybe at the muffaletta ingredients.
Oh, yeah,
I'm, some of this stuff.
Sorry
just,
about
yeah,
that.
No, it's all good.
So
mortadella,
about.
Salami, Swiss cheese, ham, provolone.
It is funny, though.
Spread, yeah.
People could just have it. I'm sure there's someone out there that has a problem with the muffaletta sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
It's so stupid. The T-Wolves edge the Nuggets in double overtime, 140-139. In the loss, Nikola Jokic had 61 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists. So how are you doing afterwards?
I'm just tired, just...
He's exhausted. And he should be. He played, I think, 53 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen someone so good who comes across like he cares
less.
So less. Yeah,
yes,
I mean,
exactly.
I mean, I mean, that's across all professional sports.
Yeah, there is a guy, I don't know him that well, but I did watch him last night and I heard the guys talking about him a little bit last night. That Nikita Kucherov that plays for Tampa.
Yeah.
Like P.K. Subban was saying, the guy doesn't sweat during the game. And then they make him go on the bike for an hour after the game so he sweats.
Really?
He's so good. And you know,
in
P.K.
condition
was slobbering all over him last night. But
Slobber spot.
Yeah, slobber spot. And rightfully so. I mean, the guy is great. He's ridiculous. He's got eyes in the back of his head. But it is just amazing how everything looks so effortless to him, you know?
Certain guys are like that.
They are.
Guys like Steph Curry.
Pass stolen by Curry. Curry takes it down the middle of the floor, stops, and shoots another three. It's good! Straight on! His 11th three of the night. 91 all here in the third. 5 minutes to go.
Well, he would end up with 12 threes. He would score 52 points,
jeez,
10 rebounds, 8 assists, 5 steals. Warriors beat the Grizzlies 134-125. As Jaren Jackson says, though, not the end of the world for us. We'll be fine.
I mean, we've had wins, we've had losses. Ain't no reason to feel like crazy. Like it always could be worse. You could be homeless.
Wow.
12 of 20 on 3-point range. Wow.
That's one hell of a comparison there to keep yourself grounded, right?
Always be homeless.
You could always be homeless. You ever use that one, Boomer, where you're like, oh, man, you know, like his Uber's not showing up on time. I could always be homeless.
Yeah, no, I've never used
that. You never use that one?
No.
Then maybe we should start.
The Bucks beat the Suns 133-123. Notable as Milwaukee shot 51 of 74, 69% for the game, 17 of 29 from three-point range. The University of Maryland hiring Buzz Williams as their new head coach. The Lightning beat the Islanders 4-1. Jake Gensel, the go-ahead goal in the second. Victor Hedman scores as well. Rangers wild tonight.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
I mean, you're not going to believe this.
Yeah.
So we go to break, and you know, we open up talking about the Mets. We're talking a lot about the Mets and what's going on. And we had Carlos Mendoza on, you know, the sound that Jerry had. And when we go to break, you get up and you leave. You go talk to Al and Eddie for a second. I was checking out Oakmont because that's where the U.S. Open is this year. And I was just looking at it and see if there were any changes or anything going on at Oakmont. I happen to pick up my phone and I turn it over and the contacts part of my phone is open. The app is open. I don't know why I didn't open the app.
No, sometimes that happens, you know.
You know who it was open to?
I do not.
Brody Van Wagenen, for some reason. And then I looked at it, I go, oh, that's interesting. And then I go over and I start looking at the Oakmont stories and everything. And I come back and my phone is calling Brody Van Wagenen.
What?
I didn't touch it. I didn't do anything.
How could, wait. Yeah. You didn't touch it and it started calling and Brody Van Wagenen?
I'm not kidding you. So I'll go to recents.
No, right? I believe that it called, but I'm just surprised you didn't like bump into it. You got big hands. No, I see it.
No, I didn't do anything. I called Brody Van Wagenen. So if Brody's listening this morning, that was like a butt dial, I guess.
Why is Boomer Esiason calling me at 6:41 in the morning?
I did have my buddy call me to tell me some really good news about one of his kids the other day. And he was taking his granddaughter to Whole Foods, I guess. And we had a nice conversation. Everything was great. Then I got four butt dials from him. And I can listen to the conversations between him and his granddaughter in Whole Foods.
Yeah, I
and his granddaughter's like three.
There's one guy in my life who does this all the time. And I don't understand why it's me every single time, but it's me every single time. It's actually my former JV football coach who would never call me. Now, he lives in Sayville. I see him around, you know, on the circuit of the bars and restaurants. But he wouldn't normally call me for any reason, you
right?
know?
Yeah.
So every single time I see him call me and then I silence it and I get a 3-minute voicemail of Tim talking to whoever he's talking to. His kids, his friend, his whatever. Sometimes it's just like he's walking and it's in his pocket and it's just like here. I'm like, every time.
This is just the weirdest thing that just happened and I don't know why it happened or how it happened. And I know for a fact I did not open my contact to Brody Van Wagenen.
Well, I mean, he's probably like all excited too. Like, oh man, like, you know, Boomer called me today. I should probably call him back and see what he wants. That's really cool.
Probably not. He's probably busy. I'm thinking he's playing golf in California or something.
Fluid to the top.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, I still follow him on Instagram and he's back in the agent business. And he'll post things about clients and stuff and whatever.
Who is his biggest client right now?
Right now? Let's see. I mean, I guess, did he get back with Jacob DeGrom? I mean, I don't know if that's all right, let's see. He has Jazz Chisholm. I think that's a big one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to go through the whole thing. But you see... Yeah, I mean, he's out there posting stuff, you know? I mean, what a weird time in Mets history that was. The Wilpons were still there.
Yep.
And Jeff said Fred was never more excited about a hire than that one. It was almost like this, you know, this innovative thing. And it just, then you get him and Mickey Callaway together, and it was just a complete, absolute S-Fest. Just the worst.
Well, I mean, there have been other teams and other sports that have hired, you know, former agents to become their general managers. I mean, look at Leon Rose.
Yeah, but in basketball, it worked. Rob Pelinka, Leon Rose. Has there been one in baseball? Really,
Leon's the president of basketball operations. He's not the day-to-day GM, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, he kind of is.
Well, he is. He tells the guys what to do underneath him, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he gets a lot of feedback from his scouts and from his, you know, his front office.
Yeah, I mean, and that has worked. I don't know, unless I'm missing one, a guy who was an agent in Major League Baseball came in and had success as a general manager. I don't know. But Brody certainly did not. And you got unbelievable, like, the quotes that will stand the test of time from those two knuckleheads, you know, with the fluid to the top. We are going to win a championship this year and every year for the rest of time. And then I'm going to love the players more than they ever been loved.
I'll never forget that day, man, coming in here, hearing that opening day press conference. And I said, oh, God.
And then he started doing the dry humping thing. Remember that?
Where he was like, whoa, didn't want to dry hump him.
What?
That was not going to work. I mean, I was like, I don't know. That was right up there with Adam Gase.
Yeah, Gase was worse because of the visual. But Mickey Callaway's a close second. Very close second.
Hmm. I'm trying to think. We've been through a bunch of them. And what about Ben McAdoo when he came back with the slick back hair?
Well, no, his original one.
His original one, he was the Dutch boy paint cover guy.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
That was brutal.
I mean, Sala was fine. He had no issues with that one.
He had no issues with Joe Judge.
Well, his original press conference, people loved. They got all excited about it.
Yes.
But yeah, those two, I mean, the Gase one was just wild.
Phil Jackson?
I mean, that was a complete disaster. I don't remember his initial press conference, though. I mean, he probably was just philosophical high.
And Phil. Plus, yeah, well, you know, when Phil stands in front of you and talks basketball because of all of his success and his Nick legacy.
Yeah.
You know, Nick fans were going to be excited about that.
Especially, I was smoking marijuana.
See? Yeah. Especially with his, you know, first press conference coming in, everybody with high hopes. Let's go to Mark in Brooklyn. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Long time, first time. I want to share why your phone might call someone, might butt dial.
Yeah.
There's a setting on iPhones, and it listens to your voice. You can shut it off. If you guys want to call me back later, I can look into it. I'm getting ready for work. But basically, your phone's 5, 7, 10 feet away. It hears you say something. It's muffled.
Yep.
It picks it up, and it thinks it says, call so-and-so. You could shut that off. It was driving my Aunt Rosalie crazy. My father, Sal, in Jersey, he was going nuts.
Man, I'm right there with your Aunt Rosalie now. Okay, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, old person technology spot.
Yeah, old person technology spot. How old is your Aunt Rosalie?
She's about 70. My father's 78. You know, Brooklyn Italians.
Welcome, Boomer.
Brooklyn myself.
Yes.
All right, so it's part of the settings.
Club.
Yeah.
Part of the club.
Yeah, just...
Yeah, part of the club. If I could share a few anecdotes, though. Y'all make my mornings the best. Listen every day. Wakes me up. I'll never forget. Last year, listening to Boomer talk about Tom Seaver, my father's idol. Then some Oasis music was playing. You were talking about them. It was like all my great things converging at once. But I would love to know what you think if we got a butt dial from or to Terry Collins or Bobby Valentine. I would love to hear that impersonation of Elmer Fudd voice with Terry Collins.
I would much rather butt dial Bobby Valentine. I mean, Terry Collins got a good personality, but Bobby Valentine is just a world of entertainment.
Yes, he is.
Especially when you get him off the air.
Yeah.
He is great. He
kinda
is
like
so much
Lupinella.
Fun. Oh, Lupinella. God.
Lupinella is one of the best.
Oh, what a great storyteller. Oh, my God.
Did he tell you the story about he and I doing members-only commercials back in the day?
I don't remember that,
no. Vince Van Patten, Payne Stewart, Michael Jordan, Buck Williams.
No, he was telling great George Steinbrenner stories, though, about how he would call the dugout phone and stuff. And how he would just be messing with them back and forth. It was just awesome. Now, those old baseball guys can really tell some great stories. I mean, old athletes in general.
How about the old basketball guys?
Well, them too, yeah. I mean, like, what's his face again? Vernon Maxwell. You had Vernon Maxwell telling those stories about Akeem Olajuwon. Yeah. There's nothing better.